We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We were just talking about Kaapo Kakko and the NHL draft. The Combine is going to be in town next week. As always, we are going to go and chat with Ryan Kennedy, senior writer from The Hockey News, to talk a little bit about some of the prospects, see what might be there for the Sabres at 7. Ryan, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think? Is there anything to this discussion about Kaapo Kakko and whether he could be the number one pick as opposed to Jack Hughes?
It's certainly a discussion worth having. For me personally, I still think it's Jack Hughes because he's a natural center, and because of his frame and the natural gifts he has, I think there's still room for him to grow exponentially as a player, whereas Kakko seems a little more fully formed right now. I still think, you know, he'll project to be an excellent NHLer, but and I'm conservative when it comes to the draft. I always prefer centers over wingers. Yeah. I just feel like that's the prudent move. And if you're the New Jersey Devils, you say to yourself, we could have Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes as our 1-2 centers for the next decade. That sounds pretty enticing.
But Kakko's a nice number two prize if that's the case for the Rangers then.
Oh, certainly. I mean, if you're Jeff Gorton right now, this is like the best case scenario where even if the Devils decide to go with Kakko, then you get Jack Hughes. Otherwise, I mean, Kaapo Kakko, we've seen what he does at international events. We've seen him break records for his age group in Finland's top league for men. I mean, he is just fantastic. His work around the net, his smarts, his creativity, you know, the physical package he brings. There's so much to like. This is one of the closest 1-2 draft combinations that I think we've seen in years. I would go back to Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin, where it's really kind of a fun choice for that first team. And, you know, if you're that second team, you're still going to get, you know, probably a future superstar.
Are these two guys in their own category when you look at the draft class? Are they in their own tier, basically?
Yes, I would say that's one tier, and then it gets pretty open from there. I would say from, you know, 3 to probably 8 at this point, there's going to be some very intriguing decisions to make because you have some other good centers from the WHL. You have more kids from the U.S. National Team Development Program that played with Jack Hughes. And then Bowen Byram, the defenseman out west, you have Vasily Podkolzin from Russia. It's really going to be an interesting board once it comes out.
Yeah, I wanted to get into some of the other guys out there and certainly work our way down to 7 where the Sabres are. But overall, we tend to ask people all the time, characterize a different draft class this year versus other years. How does it stack up? What are your thoughts on anything stand out in particular about this year's group?
Well, I would say, for me, the hallmark of this class is going to be that NTDP group. I don't think we've ever seen a group with such depth. There's arguments to be made whether this is the best NTDP team ever. I mean, you did have Austin Matthews and Matthew Tkachuk and a whole bunch of other guys a couple of years ago. But, you know, I spoke to a scout during the second half of the season, and he said he wouldn't be surprised if every player that was eligible for the draft on that NTDP squad was actually selected this year, and that's unprecedented. I mean, usually you get about 10 to 12, but we could see, you know, 18 to 20, which is pretty incredible. And I think, especially in that high end, there's a very good possibility we could see 7 or 8 of these players go in the first round alone. And I think that is going to be the calling card of this draft class, is just how many impact forwards that Team USA had.
That's great for U.S. hockey, although, I mean, it's been year, right, Ryan? It's been a while now. You know, we've seen an increase in U.S.-born hockey players, right? We've seen an increase in first-round picks from the U.S. So I suppose we shouldn't be surprised, but it still is a nice feather in the cap for the national program and for U.S. hockey.
It really is, and this is a combination of years of work. And actually, I just did an article for a recent issue about the American Development Model, which is about to celebrate its 10th anniversary. And you really have to applaud the efforts at the grassroots level that USA Hockey has undertaken in the past decade. And the, you know, we're seeing the fruits of their labor. It's not only in Minnesota, Massachusetts, Michigan. It's all over the place. I mean, we're seeing kids from, you know, a lot from New York State, but we're also seeing kids from California, Arizona, Florida, Texas that are starting to come up, starting to make impacts, starting to get taken in the first round. Obviously, Austin Matthews is the best example, but Ryan Johnson is a player we might see in this year's first round. He was born and raised in California. So the diversity we're seeing geographically is a huge strength for Team USA, because obviously the population is so big, and now if they can attract a bigger pool of athletes to hockey versus some of the other big four sports, it's just a huge advantage that America has because of that population base.
We're with Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News. The Sabres are at seven. Who are we talking about? What kind of player? You can get into some specific names too, but what kind of player are we talking about at seven? Is it possible? Is it an impact guy? There's no way this guy's going to have to get seasoning. What are your thoughts at that point in the draft order?
Well, it's a nice slot to be picking in. I don't think you're going to get anybody who's going to help right away, but that's fine. I think it's most likely going to be a forward unless Jason Botterill and his staff really want a defenseman, and then you might see somebody like a Philip Broberg go a little earlier than projected, and that's fine. But I'm thinking it's probably going to be a forward. As I mentioned earlier, Vasily Podkolzin, the Russian power forward, he might be available then. You know, there is the Russian factor. I think, you know, if he was from Flin Flon or if he was from Edina, he'd probably be the number three prospect in this draft. But he does have two more years on his contract in Russia, so that might be a mitigating factor. But this kid is just a powerhouse. I think he's going to be an NHL fan favorite. He's really physical, plays with an edge, has a lot of skill, was really good at the World Juniors. And, you know, Russian coach Valery Bragin does not play 17-year-olds. He just doesn't, no matter how good they are. But he trusted Podkolzin. Podkolzin was playing minutes late in games, in crucial games. He was back out there if he made a mistake, and I think that bodes really well for him. So for me, he's one of my favorite players in the draft class, and I'm really intrigued to see how high he goes. Two other names to keep in mind, both from the NTDP. The first is Trevor Zegras, who, you know, if Jack Hughes wasn't on that team, I think we'd be talking a lot more about Trevor Zegras, because he is explosive, he's offensively gifted, he's got a great motor, and, you know, sometimes he played with Hughes, sometimes he didn't. He's also a center, and I think that he'll be a really good prospect. He's committed to Boston University for next season, so he's going to a great program, and I think he'll probably be available in that range. Mm-hmm. The other name to keep an eye on is Cole Caulfield. This is a player who is just so dynamic. He's an incredible goal scorer, set the program record this year. 4 goals. He's only 5'6". You know, he could be that next Johnny Gaudreau, Alex DeBrincat type, but his name just keeps coming up the rankings, because I think at this point in my talks with scouts, they say, look, a lot of people missed on DeBrincat and Gaudreau during their day.
Yeah.
Shame on you if you pass on Caulfield because of his size, because this kid gets it done pretty much every night. He was incredible at the World Under-18s for Team USA. He's headed to the University of Wisconsin next season, another team that is really good right now in terms of churning out NHL prospects under Coach Tony Granato. So I really want to know when Caulfield's going to go, because he certainly has the talent to be a top-five pick, but we have seen that bias against size in the past where he could slide out of the top 10, even into the top 15.
It's been interesting, and you were mentioning DeBrincat, and I was watching. He was having a good world championship too, but also we had this discussion years ago when Mitch Marner came up in the draft. I mean, he's not big at all, and look what he's been able to do in his NHL career, and look at what he's about to do in terms of payday.
Indeed, and you know, the thing about guys like Marner and even Patrick Kane is, yeah, they're not that big, but can you catch them?
Yeah.
You know, how many times did these guys actually get hit on the ice? And it's because they're so quick. not only on their skates, but in with their minds. And I think, you know, with Caulfield, I don't see him getting plastered too much out there. The question is going to be, can he defend at the NHL level? But when you're on the wing, that's not as important as if you're a center. So I think, you know, guys like Marner and DeBrincat have really opened some eyes where you say, okay, well, they can be 40 goal scorers in the NHL. They can be 90 point guys. And if you have the chance to snap them up, you probably should.
The Sabres have a second pick, Ryan. It's going to be at the tail end of the draft, first round, 30 or 31. Anything? How deep is the first round? What kind of prospects would we look at in the late first round?
Well, there's going to be some interesting names, and I think it really comes down to that sort of 20 to 40 range. It's kind of interesting, and this happens every year where we think of it as a first round and then a second round, but, I mean, the number 32 pick is no worse than the number 31 pick. We just happen to take a break on the Friday night. So, I mentioned Ryan Johnson before. He plays for Sioux Falls in the USHL. They just won the league championship. He is a one-man breakout, as they like to say, you know, a great mobile defenseman. I think he'll be available in that range if the Sabres want him. Another name to keep in mind would be Vladislav Kolyachinov. He played in the OHL for the Flint Firebirds. Another defenseman came over in the import draft, and he has some nice size. He plays a great all-around game. Great character, great personality. Scouts really love talking to him. He'd be another option in that range. So, you know, if the Sabres go for a forward with that number 7 pick, maybe they go with a defenseman with that, you know, 30, 31 pick, whatever it turns out to be. And I think those two guys would be pretty good options in that slot.
Before I let you go, why don't you get a little plug-in for the Hockey News draft coverage?
Yeah, draft preview is on newsstands now, and you can also find a bunch of content at thehockeynews.com. We have a great subscription service now where if you just want the digital edition, you can do that. If you want everything, we've got other packages. So check it out. We're super happy with what we're doing right now. The magazine itself is on brand new stock paper. We got more pages than ever. So it's a very exciting time for us.
You can follow Ryan on Twitter too, at THN Ryan Kennedy, senior writer for the Hockey News, joining us to talk a little bit about the draft. Again, the Combine going to be in town next week at Harbor Center. Ryan, thanks. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.